Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 18th of May, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad to have you with me today. Also with me, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me, Kelly.
So we're here to talk about Apple Music and the upgrades to it and what publishing looks like, because Dave, I know you've put stuff on iTunes, and the fact that Apple has said that lossless is coming to everybody who has Apple Music at no charge. That's sort of what kicked off this whole conversation.
With many, many asterisks. That's right.
Yeah, yes. there are a series of them.
Yes, I'm going to have a lull at one of them in a bit. But I was very lucky. I had Adrian Wetcliffe for the Irish Independent over on Media Plus to discuss this a slightly different way. And we were kind of talking about the practicalities and is anyone actually going to notice, which I think is perhaps one of the asterisks that we are considering in this conversation. But it's an interesting point. Also, from Dave's perspective, as someone who has published music on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I even published music when iTunes was called iTunes. That's right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm a musician. I have the great pleasure of working with some fantastic songwriters. I've only ever published one song that I've written. It actually charted moderately well on college radio back in the 90s, I figured, so I was just quit while I was ahead. But I still get to work with other people who actively write songs that are better than anything I ever did too. And occasionally we will push those out to iTunes, aka Apple Music. And one thing we all noticed early on when Apple started accepting songs for Apple iTunes at the time, not Apple, and I corrected myself because of the temporal nature of the name, but also Apple Music, the service, is different from selling your music on the iTunes store or the Apple Music store. The names all get very, very confused. So let's rewind back to a time when Apple had no streaming service and it was just there to purchase tracks. At that point in time, even then, Apple required that we submit songs not as AACs, like you and I would buy them and download them, right? When you download a song from Apple, it's 256K AAC. You would submit, you were required to, as an artist, to submit 24-bit 96K WAV files. I think that was the minimum. I think you might have even been able to do 192K WAV files. I honestly forget, but it was, to simplify it, you were mandated to submit uncompressed WAV files so that the Apple could do the conversion and sell it to their audience. And we all very quickly realized, well, wait a minute, like this means a few things. A, it means that Apple could increase the quality of these tracks without having to go back to every single individual artist or, you know, publisher and get new copies. So that's smart. But we also realized as an industry, Apple now has uncompressed backups of lots of music, which is great when there's, say, a fire in Los Angeles that takes out music libraries, right?
I mean, yeah, like Sony that had happened. A major problem. Yeah, that's a real thing that did happen. Yes.
Correct. And it was like, well, what does Apple have of what was lost? What does Apple actually have copies of? Now, that doesn't mean that Apple has the multi-track masters. You can't remix it. Right. You can't remaster it. But at least they've got, you know, uncompressed copies of these things there. And so this was a good thing, but it's what paved the way for them to be able to do what they did the other day by simply announcing, hey, by the way, everything is going to be available in, you know, higher quality lossless format. You're ready mm-hmm. to go.
Yeah. And the nice thing about that is it means that there's nothing for the artist to do again. With right. So nobody's gonna email Dave and be like, yeah, you know that song from that song back in the day. Like, can you just re-upload that record to us? You don't have to do any of that. So Apple can just make the higher quality thing available.
It would never happen. It would be, right. You know, there's probably 30% of artists who would respond to that in a timely enough fashion.
Right.
Right.
Like, I mean, it would happen over time. You'd feel the pressure like, oh, I should have my lossless stuff in there. We got to get around to that. Right. Like,
yeah.
And the major publishing houses would be able to dedicate staff to doing it. But it would be a major undertaking and an expense that simply didn't need to happen because of Apple's foresight on this. Now, this is assuming that we as artists all trust Apple to keep our music and not, you know, have some sort of security breach where it's all been, you know, leaked out to the public. And that hasn't happened. So those of us that chose to trust them thus far have been proven right. Doesn't mean that we won't be proven wrong at some point, but Apple's done pretty good with that. So, yeah, it's fascinating to see this come to fruition. You know, there's a lot of told you so's going on, but not in a chastising or condescending way. It's like, remember? Told you they were going to do this. Like, yeah, we knew.
Yeah, so. there's definitely a thing happening with this. And it's nice that Apple had the foresight for that, because, like, I'm going to bet, you know, there's bands that aren't together anymore. There's, you know, masters that have been lost to the mist of time and all of that. So for Apple to be able to just make this announcement because they had it all that quality already is very nice.
Really nice. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you want to do this now or another time, but we can and should, I think. I would love to. I don't want to say should. I would love to talk about when and where and whether that quality actually matters.
Well, right. I think...
And this is what we touched on a bit on Media Plus as well. Mm-hmm. And Adrian made the point, as a musician, I'd like to get your perspective on it as well, Dave. You know, younger people listening on, let's be honest, some either fairly crummy generic Apple iPhones or through the speakers on their phone or whatever, mm-hmm. are lots of listeners and predominant consumers of music going to notice this? My working assumption with these things is always no, but I would like to be proved wrong.
I can prove you wrong, but
yeah,
you are correct. But like, you, in a very general sense, most people aren't going to even care. Mm-hmm. And so let's dismiss that. Right. But then there is a subset of the music listening audience who are purists, and they want to know that, you know, they're hearing sound in a very, you know, in the uncompressed way, nothing has been lost as mm-hmm. the artist intended, all of these phrases. And so that's fine. Of those people, I would say most of them won't be able to tell for a variety of reasons. Now, mm-hmm. the first one is that most of us don't have dog's ears. And by that, I mean anything above 16-bit, 44.1 kilohertz won't... Like, your ears can hear, at best, the human ear can hear from, you know, about 20 hertz up to about 20,000 hertz, right?
Okay.
We have stereo music, so double that. So now we've got 40,000 hertz. Well, CD quality is 44,100 hertz.
Okay.
So there's more frequency range available than humans can hear.
Okay.
And the bit rate, you know, we're talking about 24 versus 16 bits and things like that. Mm-hmm. The bit rate, the number of steps in dynamic range, AKA volume, that are possible. And again, it, you know, I had this conversation with Giles Martin, who manages all the, like, Beatles stuff now. His dad was the Beatles producer and he manages all of it now. And, you know, he argued that maybe 18 bits.
Can I just say that is a cracking name drop.
It is a name drop.
I'm over here quietly typing to Charlotte. We don't get to stop for Dave's casual lob of Giles Martin into the middle of the show.
That was exceptional work.
Yeah.
Thank you. But he, you know, I had this conversation with him and I was like, what do you think? And he said, probably, let's say 18 bits of dynamic range is what the human ear could really begin to hear. Now, that's, you know, arguing, really truly nitpicking between lossless 1644 and lossless 2496, right? What we're talking about here is going from compressed AAC 256K to some kind of lossless. So let's examine that and how many people are going to be able to hear that.
Well,
most of us don't have equipment that will allow us to hear the difference there. Most of us listen on Bluetooth, which requires music. Even if you send uncompressed music from your computer to a Bluetooth device of some sort, headphones, speakers, converter, whatever you want, it now has been compressed because Bluetooth doesn't have the bandwidth. So there are lots of different compression codecs that happen inside the Bluetooth spec. Apple embedded their AAC into Bluetooth. There are others people argue are better, and they're probably right. But still, it's going to be compressed if you're listening over Bluetooth. So let's
dismiss
that. Well,
it's going to be compressed from Apple Music anyway, right? Because Apple Music is a streaming service.
Well, but that's what's changing.
But that's the bit that's changing. Just going through the sort of numbers that Dave was referencing and kind of CD quality and stuff, so people know what Apple is going to be offering. The basic lossless tier starts as what Dave was rightly describing as CD quality, 16-bit, 44 kilohertz. You can make it then go up to 24-bit, 48 kilohertz, and there is actually... And Apple described it in its press releases for the true audio file. There is even the offer of high resolution lossless, which is 24 bit at 192 kilohertz. I can certainly say I don't have the equipment in my little home to be able to benefit from such things, but it would be, if anyone wants to send me hundreds of dollars to buy the appropriate cabling, I'd be very happy to receive it.
Hundreds isn't going to cut it, Charlotte.
No, it might cut me like, I don't know, like half a meter of cabling. I might get
maybe. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So right. So the one factor that we all need to remember here is, and I will talk about how to like where you can actually hear the difference between some of these things. But the one factor to remember here is confirmation bias. Mm-hmm. We have lived many years here where confirmation bias has been in the news for a lot of different reasons, mostly negative. When I say confirmation bias today about music, I actually mean it in a positive way. Okay. Because if you have your favorite speakers and or your favorite set of headphones, or you spent $100,000 on this JBL setup with their custom amplifier and custom cabling and their custom speakers, and you believe that music sounds better on that setup, then music will sound better to you on that setup. You will enjoy it more because you have convinced yourself that it is better.
And okay.
If the point of listening to music is to enjoy it, then you have succeeded, right? Like if you can literally get more enjoyment, like let's say it could be objectively said, and it probably can, that, you know, the $1,000 system in home A reproduces music equally as well as the $100,000 system in home B. But if you believe that the $100,000 system is better, you will enjoy it more. Mm-hmm. Just like people who have turntables will enjoy that more.
And but that's true. Vinyl sounds better.
We'll have that discussion another time. Vinyl sounds different. Vinyl definitely sounds different. And that's the thing. It's even better is subjective, right? Like vinyl is objectively different than, say, listening to, you know, a lossless CD
stream on your HomePod or whatever. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's objectively better. It just means it's objectively different. Right. You like it better. And guess what? Then you enjoy it more. And there's a whole experience to vinyl where there's the ritual of flipping the record and dropping the needle. And like all of that is awesome because the point of music is enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So whatever you think you will enjoy the most is what you will enjoy the most. So this is all a good thing.
Yeah.
That said, I have done some testing of me because I'm, you know, I can't tell you what you hear, but
you're the only tester you have for you. Yes.
I'm the best tester I have. Double blind testing, meaning that I don't, if I'm administering the test to myself, I don't know which version of something I'm hearing. We call it ABX testing because you don't know. It's AB testing, but there's the X factor. You don't know what you're hearing. Because if you do, confirmation bias immediately changes the formula. Yep. And my doctor, the last time I had my hearing tested was about 4 years ago. And they told me I had the hearing of like a 25-year-old. I know I'm a musician, but I've been wearing earplugs since I was 14 and in-ear monitors since I was about, I don't know, 25 or something. And have been obsessed with hearing protection. And it thus far has paid off. I'm sure my hearing is worse now than it was 4 years ago because age, you know, plays games that we don't get to set the rules for.
Right.
But my hearing's pretty good. And when I did these tests was probably 8 years ago when I started doing these tests. Most music that is like most rock music, popular music that is produced is compressed dynamically, not digitally, but dynamically, such that when it is then compressed digitally, there is very little loss in what you hear on the other end, because it's built for like, they know that you're going to be listening on your tiny computer speakers, your tiny phone speakers, your car speakers, right? So they engineer the music to sound good there.
Right.
And they create this sort of generic thing that sounds good everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so when you compress that stuff, it's really hard to find opportunities where you can hear what I'll call compression artifacts, things that are introduced into the music because it was compressed. Now, I say that using today's streaming services as as the metric. If we go to 128K compression, most of us will be able to hear the difference there. But there are a few tracks where I've trained myself to hear the difference between Apple's AAC version, which are very, very good, and the uncompressed track. And the one I always come back to is an album that I think it's like 60 years old now. It's Dave Brubeck's Time Out album. There's a song, Kathy's Waltz. The album was recorded in an old church with ribbon mics. And so the building itself has some like natural reverb, but you'd hear this with artificial, you know, added reverb too. There are moments in that song. It's very spacey. It's a jazz album. And it's not spacey jazz, but there is space in the music. There's air in the music. And there are a couple of sections of this song, Kathy's Waltz, where when it's compressed, I can hear the decay cut off more quickly of the reverberations in the room. I hear those cut off more quickly than I do when it's not compressed.
Yeah.
And so I've trained myself to hear that. It doesn't mean that I like one better than the other. I can enjoy listening to both, but if I'm paying attention, I can hear that. So there definitely are things that are lost in compression, which is why we call it lossy compression. But it's like most of us aren't going to care.
And that's
unless we decide to care.
This is the reality of it is, like you said, Dave, things are getting mastered for an iPhone speaker, a car speaker, a Bluetooth speaker, and that's a very different thing. So, Charlotte, I know I want to get you to weigh in on this because I know you mentioned you had a whole conversation about a lot of this on Media Plus.
Yeah, we did. There's just a couple of things to mention before we wrap up. First of all, there's a bit of a debate going on about what devices, particularly those from Apple, you'd actually be able to even get the benefit from. As Dave said, you're not even going to hear lossless audio over Bluetooth. So that takes out AirPods at the moment straight away. You do get the spatial audio, which Apple also introduced yesterday on AirPods, but you're definitely not getting lossless. But apparently at the moment, it looks like you don't even get the benefit of lossless audio on $549 AirPods Max, even if they're plugged in with a wire. Now, I'm seeing some stuff that some dongles might work and help do and get you that quality. I'm not sure yet, so I haven't seen it. But that is worth bearing in mind. Even if you care about this stuff, even if you think you have the right gear and are using Apple's own stuff. At the moment, even the AirPods and AirPods Max are not going to give you the benefit of this. And I imagine that for lots of people, the place where we listen to lots of music is over some kind of headphones. It's also worth noting that there are part of Apple's move to do this is obviously to compete with the likes of Tidal, Amazon and Spotify trying to get into this lossless game. It's a bit of a, I mean, it's nice for us people who care about music that there's a bit of a race to increase quality of what we're getting, but it's worth looking around what the other services are offering as well. And Apple seems to have gotten quite early in this arms race in some ways.
Okay. And the thing I want to add here is that when we've been shopping for AV gear at my house, as we look for things, what I end up looking for is when I look at things is this a feature? Is this a feature or is this a saying so feature? So, you know, a lot of things are things that, you know, Dave, like you were talking about, are outside the bounds of human hearing. But you will hear the person who says, yeah, I paid extra so that this thing does that thing. Even though you can't hear it, you get to hear somebody tell you about it. So I have found that some of them are sort of marketing feature.
This is a little of both, I would say.
This feels a little bit like that because there's things that are legit about it and the quality being higher is obviously going to be great. But, you know, but at the same time, like if it's only going to be great when you're not using Apple stuff to listen to, that seems a little confusing. Hopefully this is 1.0, as Charlotte said before we wrap up. So we have to wrap up now. It's going to be interesting to see how this evolves or if it changes in some way and does end up including the high quality, ends up including AirPods and things. I guess we'll find out. So thank you, Dave and Charlotte, for being on the show. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.